Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to How's the Josh podcast show. I'm Omkar Chaudhary, your host. My guest for today, I have to tell you, is an exuberant and timeless beauty. It's not very easy to match her moves. She's earnest and zealous. She's ex-Googler, now an extremely vivacious influencer. She is the mitochondria of gorgeousness, talent, and expressiveness. She is Vogue, she is Obsession, she is Nitibha Kaul. Welcome, Nitibha, to the show.
Thank you so much, Omkar.
Really, like, we are really happy to have you on the show. And before we begin, how's Nitibha?
Well, amazing, sir.
Lovely. Let's just move with this amazed answer. Like, my first question to you will be, like, how did this Google came into your mind? Like, was it pre-decided from the childhood that you wanted to be in Google? Or, like, how did it happen to you, the primary part of your life, the being into a Google? So please elaborate about it.
Well, being into Google was honestly never really like a childhood dream. It was something that became a dream come true when it happened, because I never even dreamt of being in a company like Google. I did my bachelor's in business studies from this institute called Shahid Sukhdev College of Business Studies in New Delhi, which is one of the best business studies colleges in the country, one of the best undergrad colleges. And I happened to get through that college, after my 12th board exams. And then, of course, I did my 3 years there. And then I had gotten placed in some other company. But then I do remember some of my seniors were a part of Google, and they sort of, they had applications open. So they recommended me. I went through three to four rounds of interview, and I happened to get in. So for me, it was very surreal, because I never imagined someone who had a bachelor's degree, like a business degree, to get into a company like Google, which I always thought was for engineers and IT whiz and, like, you know, IIT kids and everything. So for me, it was very surreal. And I honestly did not really know what I wanted to do at that point in time, because I was just out of college, just wanting to get into the best company possible. And that's what happened with me. And I got into Google. I started off as an account strategist. I did pretty well. 2.5 years I was there working with the digital advertising clients from North America, Australia. And it was one of the best experiences of my life, and probably the only corporate experience that I can ever imagine to be that good.
Lovely. I think being into Google is like, you know, every engineer's dream, I think, and every child's dream. Like, you know, nobody will ever say no to this. But the next thing that really happened, a big thing that really happened to you, was a Big Boss. Again, you started with your Big Boss journey. So, like, how did it all happen? A Google girl getting into a Big Boss is something surreal at this moment. So please tell us about it.
Well, honestly, being a part of Google was in itself very surreal. So I somehow had always been interested in a lot of extracurriculars. So, you know, I used to do singing. I used to be a part of all the different societies in college. I used to be very, very out there. And I did have this dream of, you know, becoming Miss India. Then I did a mobile app reality show back when I was in college, which I won. It was called Nokia Your Wish Is My App. So there were a lot of things that I wanted to do and explore. And I never really figured out what is that one thing that really made me happy. So I used to be really active on social media, and I just bumped into this application form of Big Boss that I felt like was maybe a good idea for me to sort of apply to, because, you know, I already had taken part in Miss India the year before that while I was in Google, and I was one of the Miss India Delhi finalists, but I didn't win. So I already had an attraction to the glamour industry and to the entertainment business, but I did not really know what exactly I wanted out of it. So I just randomly applied. I mean, it was just an application form that you had to fill in. You had to make a 3-minute selfie camera video with you talking about yourself, your life, your journey, and why you wanted to be a part of the Big Boss house. And this was the 10th season and the first time ever that Big Boss was opening up applications for, commoners, which is like regular Indian people, because till the 10th season, they only had celebrities in the show. So it was the first time they were doing something of that sort. And, you know, for me, it was just an opportunity. And I also did a TED talk later after Big Boss, which talks of how I have utilized different opportunities in my life to my advantage and gained the most out of them. So it was just an opportunity that I grabbed. I honestly forgot about the interview, the audition tape that I sent once I sent it, because for 2 months I didn't get any response. I was just at work one fine day in a team meeting sitting at Google, and I got a call from them saying that, hey, you've been selected for the first round of auditions. And from the first round to the second round to the third round till becoming a part of the top 8 that were entering the house, that were the first ever common people or Indians to enter the Big Boss house, non-celebrities to enter the Big Boss house. It was just surreal. And at that point in time, I was faced with the option of either going to continue at Google or going for Big Boss, because I could not get a 3-month extended leave, because if I happened to survive on the show for 3 months, then I would have to, get that kind of a leave from Google, which they were not accepting, because 3 months is, of course, an absurd amount of time for a corporate employee to get a leave for. So I had to decide to quit, which was such a big risk. I mean, honestly, it could have been really bad for me. I could have been out of the house in the 1 or 2 weeks or maybe a month, and nobody would have remembered me. Nobody would have known who I was. But then luckily I happened to stay in the house for 3 months. And once I came out, my life had completely changed.
So I can sum it up, like being a non-celebrity to being a celebrity, that sort of transition that really took place. And I think it was really a great and a remarkable experience of being into Big Boss.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Also, like moving on, then after that, once you stepped out of Big Boss, you had a fame, you were a celebrity. Then you started with a social media business. Like you started appearing more in the public platform, like let's say Instagram or YouTube. You started your own YouTube channel and today you have 198K subscribers.
Right.
So how did it happen? After coming from Big Boss, what sort of clicked in your mind that you really wanted to be on the social media platform and just be around with this generation on YouTube or Instagram? So what sort of clicked you?
To be honest, I had absolutely no idea when I came out of the Big Boss house about what I want to do in my life, where I want my life to go. I was such a suddenly a famous person, a girl who was an ordinary employee at a company like Google. Of course, a smart Delhi girl who after 3 months had overnight become a celebrity that people would recognize wherever she goes. So it was a very surreal moment for me. I was getting a lot of events, a lot of interviews, TV shows, and all of the things that, you know, you get once you get famous. I was getting all of that. So there was a lot of attention, and I really thought that, hey, you know what, maybe this is my calling into the glamour world and this is it. And now I am going to become a big TV star or big movie star, and that's it, my life sorted. And that's why I moved to Bombay right after the show, because I thought that, hey, let's explore this industry. However, I was in Bombay for around 8 to 9 months after Big Boss. And slowly but steadily, I realized that that's not what I want to do. I went for innumerable number of look tests, and, you know, there were so many production houses that would call me every day, and, you know, big banners, both from TV and movies, would call me for auditions, for look tests. They would be interested in me doing lead roles directly, you know. I would have to skip all of those long queues of auditions, and I would be directly in the front, sitting with the director or the producer, having those conversations. So for me, it was like a privileged position. But then whenever I would go for those meetings or those interviews or auditions, I would always realize that this is not giving me joy, because every time I would audition for a character, for a role, I would not feel comfortable. I did not feel comfortable being someone else in front of camera. I was always the kind of person who would pick up her phone, you know, make Insta stories, talk to my audience. And, you know, I used to even do that when I was in Google. So for me, my social media was, you know, like that one saving grace that kept me going, and it kept me happy because I used to always pick up my phone. I used to love making videos. So right after I became famous, I thought social media was always a real time.
So I started that. Like, you right really never liked yourself being sort of playing in another character. Really, and that's really the reason you felt like, that time you really felt that you really don't want to play someone else's character, rather being real in front of the camera and doing my job, doing the real Little Ba thing is what you're calling.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that I figured was more my thing. At that time, I did not know what my calling was, but social media was something that was giving me joy. I was doing a lot of Instagram posts, stories every day. And by then, I was not doing branded posts because I did not even know what bloggers or influencers do. I was just doing it for the joy of it. And then I got the show with MTV called A Day to Remember that I was supposed to host, and I hosted it, and they had a 1 month long shoot in Delhi, which is when I decided that, you know, it's time for me to move back, because the only thing that I'm enjoying in this industry is doing non-fiction stuff, which is to be myself, which is to do a TV show, host a TV show, or maybe do reality shows or something like that. But since I'd done the biggest reality show ever, I did not really want to do any more. I just moved back to Delhi and I started figuring out social media, because I had gotten a few branded campaigns by then. And then I did realize that it pays pretty, pretty well for someone who has the kind of numbers I have on social media. And I moved back. I took the decision to move back into my comfort zone, back to my family, my friends, and, you know, the life that I enjoyed and loved. And now I wanted to start doing something that I felt joy with. And that was social media. And that's how it started.
Lovely. I would say, like, whenever I spoke, like, you know, you spoke about the social media thing of being in front of the camera, you always said that you really wanted to be yourself in front of the camera, and hence you refused to play someone else's character. And right, being yourself, being the real Nitiba, really gave you the joy.
I lost you in the middle there. Yeah. I'm losing you in the middle.
Ajay, you're not able to hear me right now?
I am able to hear you now. Abhi beech mein, there was a break.
All right. Just tell me. All right. Because, you know, when you come back from the break, just let me know that there was a break behind.
Ha, theek hai.
Okay, chaliya. So, you were able to see my, like, you know, listen to my sentence, right? What have I said just now?
No, you can repeat the last sentence.
All right. So, what I said is, like, whenever you described your whole journey, like, whenever you were there in the Bombay for 8 to 9 months, you said that being in front of the camera and playing someone else's character was really not your calling. When you were there in the front of the camera, you really wanted to be the real Nitiba and show to the world that what you are real. So, that was always an absolute calling for you.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So moving on, right now you are an influencer. So what it takes to be an influencer? Because, you know, whenever people out there look for an influencer, they think that, oh, the brand just approaches them, they get some free stuff, they just put it there and it's done. But I'm very sure it's not that. It's not as simple as it seems. So please tell us what it takes to be an influencer, and how was your approach, and what is the process that you really took in order to become an influencer?
I'll be very honest, being an influencer came a little, actually not a little, way more easily to me than it has come to all the other influencers with similar kind of social media numbers as me. But at the same time, when you have that kind of number on social media, like immediately after Big Boss, from 4,000 before, you know, from 4,000 when I was in Google till 70,000 when I came out of the show, and then maybe 3 lakh right after, like, say 4 or 5 months of being outside the house, that was a huge jump. People take years and years and years to get to a number like 100,000, and then slowly it moves on to more 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. For me, it was a very sudden jump. But at the same time, knowing how to manage that kind of huge number on social media is not everyone's cup of tea. I would give myself that credit that, yes, I was able to capitalize and utilize the numbers I had. You know, there were so many other contestants on my season in Big Boss who also had similar growth on social media, but none of them are doing anything close to what I'm doing right now in terms of brands or social media influencing, because they were not able to utilize the opportunity at the right time. So, to be an influencer, as you asked me, is definitely not an easy job. And I realized that after I started doing professional campaigns with brands, it looks very fancy and glamorous, which is why every profession which looks fancy and glamorous, people assume that it's going to be easy. It's going to be, you know, no big deal. It's just, you just have to look pretty. You just have to endorse a product, hold it prettily in front of the camera. But nobody knows the amount of hours and hours it takes of planning, of shooting, of collaborating, of ideating, brainstorming behind the actual content that goes out on our platforms. Everything that goes out on our platforms is so curated, you know, it's so filtered, refined. And all the filtration, the refinement, the conceptualization, it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes a lot of energy. Shooting is probably by far one of the most exhausting things that I ever do in my life, because to be in front of a camera, to look pretty, to have that same expression, to look happy, and to be talking about a product or, you know, creating new ideas every day, creating new content every day. It's an ongoing process. You know, it's much easier, I would say, to sit behind a desk and, you know, do the same kind of job every day. But it is very difficult to come up with new ideas and brainstorm every day. So if anyone listening to this podcast wants to become an influencer, trust me, guys, it takes a lot of work and effort. And to reach the kind of social media following, I mean, everyone listening to this podcast might not be a part of Big Boss, you know, to get sudden increase in their following. But if you want to grow your following from scratch, you have to put in the time and the effort and the energy into your content. Because see, on social media, content is king. If you're an influencer, want to be an influencer, your content has to speak volumes for who you are and what you represent. And it has to resonate with the audience that you're trying to cater to. So if I am someone who's endorsing products for people who are in their youth ages, which is 14 to, let's say, 30, then I need to have content which can appeal to them. And that content needs to be so different from what everyone else in the market is doing that people follow me and not the others. That's how you build a social media audience. And it's a very, very long and tough process, but definitely not impossible.
All right. So like, it is a bit of a challenging aspect as well. So what do you see that are the challenging aspects of the job? Like, you know, as you said, like making it is a bit of a challenge, but you know, when we go on to a deep spectrum, like, you know, when we just get into this influencing job, so what are the challenges, like, you know, the forefront challenge that you see to this job?
Well, there are quite a few, actually. There are a lot of challenges. A, being constantly on your phone or on your laptop or on social media is the biggest challenge ever. Because social media, no matter how much we like to spend time on it, we realize that it's not healthy to spend that much time online. It's not okay to spend so much screen time and spend such less time with actual real people having real conversations. It's all curated. People tend to get really, really competitive on this platform. You know, everyone is looking pretty, everyone is showing the perfect picture of their life. You know, it just becomes very, very difficult to feel confident about what you're doing because every other person is doing even better. So just to keep your sanity in check and just to be confident about what you're doing is right is so tough on social media because you have such easy access to what the world is doing. And that kind of an easy access makes your life so much more miserable because you constantly flooded by, oh, where is this person traveling to next? Oh, where is this person, you know, what is this person wearing next? Which designer, which bag, which, you know, cool new experience they're getting. So it's just very, very competitive. It does take a toll on your mental and physical health because you're spending so much time on your screen. You're not moving around. You're not having enough social interactions with the world. But at the same time, these challenges are there, but you have to still maintain yourself. You have to maintain your work-life balance. You have to treat it as work and separate the social time, screen time with your personal time, your real time, and just maintain that balance, not feel constantly jealous or competitive about what others are doing because it's so easy to fall into that trap. It's a vicious cycle. You go into that downward spiral and then you keep looking at those posts and spending that time online just browsing through endless amounts of perfect pictures. Nobody's life is perfect. We all need to realize that social media is a curated feed of what everyone, a curated journal of what everyone is doing. So it's just that you have to keep your sanity in check, I feel.
All right, agreed to this point. So also, during this whole answer, you told me one thing, like, you know, there happens to be a bit of a jealousiness, or you can be envy of another person because of the kind of access that you've got to the external world out there. So in the early part, when you were, like, you know, just stepping into this business of influencer, was there a mindset of yours that, you know, somewhere you were disturbed, or were you attracted, or were you a bit jealous by the others' post, or maybe the way the others are working? Was there a small part in your life in the early part?
Well, to be honest, that is a perpetual feeling. I cannot deny that I also feel, I wouldn't say jealous, but I also do feel, you know, threatened, or maybe I feel like, oh my God, that person is doing so well and they're traveling to this country and that country tomorrow. And, you know, these are people which have the same kind of numbers that I have on social media. So it is very easy for me to fear, you know, being redundant or not being relevant enough for my audience. But at the same time, you can also look up to people. I mean, see, there are all kinds of people on social media. You need to identify who you're comparing yourself to. And it has to be a healthy comparison. It has to be a comparison in which you feel like, oh my God, she's doing this. I can do something similar. And, you know, this person is inspiring me to work harder, to work smarter, and to even...
I just lost you in between. So could you please repeat it?
Yeah. So it's very easy to... you know, have an unhealthy negative competition feeling, but then it's also possible to look at people and derive inspiration from them. You know, you don't have to always look at people and feel negative about it or feel jealous about it. You can actually look at people and feel like, hey, you know what, this person is doing so well, and it inspires me to do even better in my own personal life. And that's the positive attitude you should have instead of feeling bad or negative about it. Of course, I've gone through that phase myself, but then I've always come out of it thinking that, hey, you know what, instead of me feeling negative about this, let me derive some positive inspiration from that person and work harder to achieve what that person has achieved.
Lovely, because nothing comes for easy. Everything takes hard work.
Exactly.
Lovely. So, like, what is the favorite part of being into this business? Like, you know, now it's your full-time business that you're doing. So what is the favorite part of the chunk that you really love to cherish over here?
Well, the one thing that I really cherish, and everyone should cherish about their job, is the fact that you should enjoy what you do. And I know that there is a lot of planning, conceptualization, back and forth, you know, talking to clients, talking to the brands, getting everything on point, which is involved. But when the camera switched on and when I'm in front of the camera and I'm doing my thing, I'm creating the content, that is when I don't feel like I'm working. It comes so naturally to me, and that gives me the most amount of happiness and joy. And that's what I love about the profession that I'm in, that I don't feel like it's work at all.
Lovely, because, you know, normally we always have this line in everyone's mindset that, you know, choose a work wherein you don't feel like you're working. And absolutely, you have taken it very seriously. And I think everybody should take it, because at the end of the day, what you want to do is, like, you know, you have one day, again, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, you have to work. And it should be something that you're passionate about.
Exactly.
Definitely. At the end of the day, each person, may it be a doctor, an engineer, an artist, an actor, a singer, everybody aims for a certain amount of satisfaction. Oh, I did this today and that really satisfies me and I have a great sleep. So what is that satisfaction factor in your end?
Well, there's a lot, actually. You know, whenever I see all the commercial stuff, which is like promoting a brand, promoting shoes, bags, clothes, makeup, skincare, that is all on one side. But then there are also opportunities like these where, like, I'm talking to you on podcast, or I'm going for two panel discussions in this week where I'm going to be talking about issues like body positivity and, you know, how the world of social media is influencing everyone today. And I did a TED talk where I spoke to people about opportunities and, you know, how they could learn about my journey and derive some sort of motivation from it. I think that is what really satisfies me and makes me feel really wonderful about the position that I'm in today, because I know that there are so many people who will listen to my opinions. If I have something to share, there are people to hear me out and, you know, even get influenced by me. So it is a huge responsibility on my shoulders, and to use that responsibly and to be creating a positive impact is what I think gives me the maximum amount of satisfaction.
Well, that was it for today. Now we meet on next Saturday. Until we meet, take care, be happy, and most importantly, be full of Josh. Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.